First things went up, then they went down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. The head of Countrywide Financial rained on his own parade yesterday. Wall Street had just rallied after Countrywide got a $2 billion investment from Bank of America. But then Countrywide's CEO went on CNBC and said the housing market could push the economy into recession. And stocks fell. The Dow finished flat at 13,235. The Nasdaq dropped 11 to 2541. The S&P 500 fell a point to 1462. The Asian markets lost about 0.5% today. European shares are down a bit in the early going. Investors are bracing for more bad news this morning. The Commerce Department comes out with the numbers on new home sales for July. More now from Steve Henn.
It's bleak out there if you're a home builder. New home sales have fallen off just about 25% from last year. And many builders are holding huge inventories of unsold houses and facing a raft of contract cancellations.
We have the largest inventory overhang we've ever seen in the housing industry.
Gregory Gieber follows the industry at AG Edwards. He says he expected home sales to pick up a bit this summer as builders cut prices to try to generate cash. But
you can't arrange for mortgage money. You can't sell homes. And this could grind our industry to close to a halt.
And real estate analysts say the full negative effects won't show up in today's report. The real credit crunch didn't come until August. So they say next month's numbers will be even worse. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The U.S. Education Secretary is playing college recruiter this week. She's down in Latin America trying to encourage high school students there to come to school here. But between the immigration crackdown and an unpopular war, it's a tough sell. Dan Gretsch reports from our America's desk at WLRN.
Since 9/11, the number of F-1 student visas is down 6%. Jeffrey Purrier with the Washington-based Inter-American Dialogue says that's not because foreign students don't want to study here.
People recognize that the United States has the best system of higher education in the world. They're more concerned with, you know, am I going to get a visa?
He says this red tape is messing with U.S. foreign policy. That's because international students grow up to be business partners and political allies.
They can relate to the U.S. They understand things. They know who to talk to. And it also raises the level of sophistication of leaders in Latin America.
While the U.S. has made it harder for international students, other countries are wooing them. The U.K., Canada, and Australia aggressively market to international students and are drawing them away by the thousands. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
This week, a new museum opened near Pittsburgh. It's dedicated to a sandwich.
To all beef, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun.
If you don't remember that jingle, it was for the Big Mac. The Big Mac is 40 years old. It was created in 1967 by Jim Delegati, who owned a McDonald's in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. The sandwich cost 45 cents back then. Today, Americans eat 550 million Big Macs a year. That equates to about 300 billion calories.
To all beef, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the FINRA Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at finrafoundation.org. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Personally, I think living one life is hard enough, but millions of people are now living second lives. Second Life is an online virtual world where people interact, play, and do business. Some predict most real-life businesses will eventually have a presence in Second Life. This weekend, there's a conference in Chicago where people can learn more about Second Life. Joining us now is Edward Castronova. He's an Indiana University professor who studies online games. Edward, I don't know much about this. How can companies benefit from Second Life?
Well, for a business who wanted to make an impact in Second Life, you should really think of it as a 3D web page. So people are navigating the space through a character, a thing called an avatar. It's 3D. And so instead of making a web page, you might make a building that their character can sort of walk around in. They can look certainly at posters on the walls of this building, but what's neat about Second Life is you can also make 3D images of, let's say, your products, and they can even be functioning 3D images. So you could make a car if you're a car company, and people can get in the car and drive it around.
Now, besides real companies marketing in the virtual world, are people creating their own businesses within Second Life?
Yeah, to some extent. The biggest companies in Second Life do things like sell land. The most transactions in Second Life come from people selling things that modify appearance. And those businesses are primarily built and grown from within Second Life. In other words, they're not imports from the outside.
And do they make real money?
Yes, they do. I wouldn't recommend that as a lucrative career for someone at this point, because the sheer size of the Second Life economy is not the level of the Czech Republic or something at this point, but it is possible to make real money.
And how does that work? How do people make real money?
Well, the currency of that country is called Linden dollars. So first you make Linden dollars, and then you sell the Linden dollars for real dollars.
Obviously, there's a lot of opportunity here for business, but it also seems a little scary to me. Is it scary to you?
I think virtual worlds as in any new frontier is a little bit scary. And there are two dangers. The first danger is to miss out on something that's wonderful. And the second danger is to sort of overhype what's actually there. And the only way you can not succumb to both dangers is to just go and experience it. Just, you know, buy the Lord of the Rings online or World of Warcraft, one of these fantasy games, and just go experience it just as fun. And then you'll have a sense of what to do.
All right, Edward, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Edward Krasternova is a professor at Indiana University. His book is called Synthetic Worlds, The Business and Culture of Online Games. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.